Flagship Centre moves one step closer as site secured by Gavin Engelbrecht in the Darlington and Stockton Times. The next steps in a plan to bring a flagship science, technology, engineering and mathematics STEM centre to Darlington have been given the go-ahead. At a meeting of Darlington Council's Cabinet, approval was given to secure the lease for this specific site on the Science Park where the centre is set to be located, and for the funding for professional services and planning to enable the project to progress. The introduction of a STEM centre to Darlington is set to provide clear pathways from school so local people can access high-value careers in science, technology, engineering and maths. The facility, which will be operated by Darlington College, will also enable existing businesses and large employers to recruit and upskill locally. Funding for the STEM Centre will come from the contribution from the Pride in Place grant as well as central government. Funding from the Pride in Place board has been secured and the business case for the government grant is in progress. Since October last year, the council has been working with partners and the Department of Business and Trade to discuss the opportunity to build a STEM centre in Darlington. The need for a STEM centre was identified at the Science Park Steering Group, who were concerned about a local skills gap in these areas. The council's development partner for the project is the City Heart Partnership. A comprehensive development agreement has recently been finalised, paving the way for the regeneration of several town centre sites over the coming years. The partnership is already progressing work across five key strategic sites, including the STEM Centre. Councillor Chris McEwen, Cabinet Member for the Economy, said, "Make no mistake, the introduction of a STEM centre to our town is game-changing in terms of supporting local people to secure well-paid specialist roles in science, technology, engineering and mathematics sectors in the future. This project is groundbreaking for Darlington in that it will make a real difference in terms of education and skills options for our communities, and demonstrates our commitment as a council to continue to supporting our town. This project also further shows our commitment to the delivery of our council plan priority of securing a strong, sustainable economy and a highly skilled workforce with opportunities for all." James Litherland, Development Director at City Heart, added, "We are delighted to be delivering the STEM Centre for the Council in partnership with Darlington College and the Department of Business and Trade."
Diabetes drug on NHS marks start of a new age of treatment. An article from the Daily Telegraph. The first drug able to delay the onset of type 1 diabetes will be given to thousands of NHS patients. The landmark approval from regulators marks the start of a new age of type 1 diabetes treatment, according to charity Diabetes UK. Teplizumab, also known as Tzield and made by Sanofi, is approved for children aged 8 and over and adults who have early stage type 1 diabetes before symptoms appear. It has been proven to slow down the onset of the lifelong condition for up to 3 years. About 400,000 people in the UK have type 1 diabetes, which causes the immune system to attack insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. The hormone is vital to the regulation of blood sugar levels, and so patients with the condition need to constantly monitor their levels and manage with insulin injections or pumps. The new drug, which was licensed in the UK for private use last year, trains the immune system to stop attacking pancreatic cells. It is taken by an IV drip for a minimum of 30 minutes over 14 consecutive days. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE, estimates that about 1,100 people could be eligible for tepsilimumab in the first year, dropping to around 820 patients per year thereafter. Dr. Elizabeth Robertson, Director of Research at Diabetes UK, said, "Today's landmark approval of tepsilimumab marks the start of a new age of type 1 diabetes treatment. For the first time in 100 years, we are moving beyond insulin with a medicine that can target the root cause of the condition." She said, "Tepsilimumab offers those in the early stages of type 1 diabetes extra years free from the relentless demands of managing the condition with insulin, as well as valuable time to prepare. Detecting type 1 diabetes early, before symptoms appear, is key to unlocking those benefits, and our focus is now ensuring fair and equitable access for everyone who is eligible." In the UK, there are currently two studies looking at screening for type 1 diabetes. Identifying those with the condition early means that they could then be eligible for tepsilimumab. The Early Surveillance for Autoimmune Diabetes study, funded by Diabetes UK and Breakthrough TID, is screening children aged 2 to 17. The separate TIDRA study is screening adults between 18 and 70. Helen Knight, Director of Medicines Evaluation at NICE, said, "For the first time, we have a treatment that can give people diagnosed at an early stage of type 1 diabetes precious extra time before they need to manage the full demands of the condition."
An item from the Darlington Stockton Times. Historic rock garden restored after 7 years of work. After 7 years of restoration, a rock garden, complete with waterfall and an aqueduct bridge, has officially reopened. Broadcaster Giles Brandreth did the honours at the historic Edwardian Garden at Newby Hall, Ripon. Restoration of the 2,800 square metre garden was led by Lucinda Compton and head gardener Lawrence Wright. Work started in 2019, but the implications of COVID slowed its progress. Mr. Wright said, "It's amazing. When I joined in 2021, it was maybe a third of the way done, and it was still early days in terms of visitor engagement with the rock garden. We never closed the rock garden off, so visitors have seen the progress over the last 7 years. It has gone from essentially being an enchanted fairy woodland over rocks that were overgrown and had their own charm to something that is horticulturally interesting and has a different feel. It is much more engaging. There is a better range of plants and it's more horticulturally focused. Aiming to recapture the original drama and romance of the rock garden while conserving it for future generations, hundreds of tons of soil have been excavated and replaced, with tons of gravel applied as mulch. More than 10,000 plants, bulbs, trees and shrubs have been planted, and the waterfall and aqueduct bridge restored." Lawrence added, "We are proud of the whole garden, but it is great we've now got this piece that is a fantastic addition to the garden. It's a completely different style to the rest of the garden, so as a team, it's been a great thing to have had the chance to work on."
This is an article by Dave Kilvert of the Talking Newspaper. Technology is advancing at an alarming rate. It's probably progressed more in the last 40 years than in the preceding 400. It's like a runaway train, which I missed as I was looking for the ticket office, which at Darlington has been cunningly hidden around the back. This means if you cannot find those friendly and helpful staff to purchase your ticket, you will be forced to confront an unfriendly and unhelpful chunk of metal.
the plot is intended to reduce tickets sold at the office, thus making it not financially viable, and it will close. Progress. I'm very much at the back of the queue, technologically. The internet is like a maze without an exit. But I do accept that it can be helpful. Bus and train times and checking the spelling of diarrhea for your crossword. Some clue, that. I do have a mobile phone, though, a very basic one, like the one used by Queen Victoria. My friends mock me, but I tell them that ever one of those thieving ride-by-cyclists snatched mine, they'd pretty quickly bring it back and urge me to get one worth stealing. But some technologies just plain daft. I went into one of the town restaurants to book an evening meal for my wife and me that night. Bookings, I'm told, only online. When told, I'm not online. Asked for my smartphone, I don't have one, so cannot make a booking. I'm in the place, in person, speaking to a member of staff, and cannot book. Crackers. Anyway, I found someone who was willing to part me from my money, and we went. As we sat looking at the menu, me trying to move my wife away from the caviar and champagne special, a family came in. Mum, Dad, and two early teenage boys. As soon as they sat down, out came the phones. My wife was tutting away until I explained to her that they were on a linked line and were having a family chat. To prove my point, as soon as the food arrived, they all hung up and said bon appetit simultaneously. We thought the calls were finished until Dad rang his wife. He asked if she would be good enough to pass the salt. I've stated before that I don't like smug people, but I have to confess I had a session of smuggery recently. I was in the town when an outage happened, which caused great distress. People wandering around distraught, unable to buy coffee or papers. I joined several queues, politely making my way to the front and flashing the readies. I finished up with half a dozen copies of The Echo. Silly, I know, but how I enjoyed myself. I do wonder about people buying everything, however small, on their phones. I don't suppose they receive paper bills, but if they did, they would collect enough paper in 3 months to decorate the bathroom. So, when they turn their bike round, a euphemism there, folks, as well as passing for what they initially went to pass, they could pass the time reading receipts. Some would please them as they got a bargain, but they would be puzzled as to why they bought two 2026 calendars because the second was half price. Technology has also moved into the supermarkets with the self-checkout and smart shop. I'll miss that personal contact, though. Maybe not after my last experience. As my goods were being checked through, the sweet young lady asked if I had anything planned for the rest of my day. I told her I had an appointment with my solicitor, as my wife wanted a divorce. Then to a funeral of a very good friend who had died suddenly. And finally, to the doctor's, about a mysterious rash for which there was no cure. "Have a good day, rest of your day," she trilled. I strongly resisted temptation to beat her about the head with a recently purchased tin of baked beans. So there we are. Technology will continue to hurtle forward, but I won't be here when it goes over the edge. My concern is, when I get to the pearly gates, will St. Peter be sympathetic when I tell him I don't know my email address? I could show him my bus pass, though.
An item from the Daily Telegraph. teenager who hacked Transport for London, wanted in the United States after an £87 million cyber scam, by Tim Sigsworth. A teenager who paralysed Transport for London, TfL, with a £39 million hack is wanted in the United States in connection with cyber scams worth £87 million. Thahalia Jube, 19, pleaded guilty to compromising TfL's system in August 2024 attack that left tube services suspended. The joint British and Bangladeshi citizen, who has autism and rarely goes out, appeared at Woolwich Crown Court alongside Owen Flowers, 18, who also admitted the offence. Joubert from Bow, East London, was charged in November 2025 in New Jersey over allegations of extorting at least £87 million through hacks on 47 American companies and organisations between 2022 and 2025. The charges attract a maximum 95-year prison sentence. The hacker, who has 22 previous convictions and started offending at age 14, is yet to stand trial in the US, as he was charged after proceedings became active in the British TfL case. Extradition proceedings are usually stayed until cases in British courts come to a conclusion. Prosecutors told the court, Joubert and Flowers, who also has autism and lived with his grandmother in Walsall, West Midlands, were part of an online cybercrime gang that called itself Scattered Spider. On August 29, 2024, the group hacked TfL's computer systems in a highly sophisticated attack, forcing the company to cancel trains and leaving it unable to take payments from Oyster cards or contactless bank cards. The attack lasted until September 3rd and cost the transport provider an estimated £39 million. Alistair Richardson, prosecuting, said earlier that the hackers had aimed to install ransomware, a type of software which locks out the system's owner until they pay a ransom. The pair pleaded guilty on the first day of a trial that had been expected to last 6 weeks. They were remanded in custody before sentencing on July the 15th. Joubert, who suffers from depression and a severe mood disorder, is wanted in the US for computer fraud conspiracy, 2 counts of computer fraud, 2 counts of wire fraud and money laundering conspiracy. The US Justice Department alleges victims paid at least $115 million, that is £87 million, in ransom payments. Joubert is said to have used aliases including Earth to Star, Brad, Austin and At Autistic. Flowers also admitted conspiring to hack 2 American healthcare companies, SSM Healthcare and Sutter Health, which run private hospitals, on September 6, 2024. He had been on police bail for other ransomware attacks at that time, Mr. Richardson said. Mr. Richardson said, the obvious and serious risks in hacking the healthcare firms had been plain to Mr. Flowers, who had said in a message that one of these attacks might kill some 19-year-old on life support. Joubert has previously been convicted on 13 counts of fraud, 2 of unauthorised access to a computer, 1 count of obtaining access to a computer, and 1 count of blackmail.
Stag Hunt starts one of Britain's biggest beetles. From the iPaper. People are being urged to look out for stag beetles enjoying the sunny weather and to send in video or audio clips of the striking insects in flight. The Great Stag Hunt, a citizen science survey run by wildlife charity People's Trust for Endangered Species, PTES, is back for its 29th year, with conservationists saying findings from the project are vital for helping the beetles. European stag beetles, one of the UK's biggest insects, are native to Britain, where they are found in urban and suburban parks,
woodland edges and the wider countryside, and their distribution has changed little over the past century. Nida Al-Fululaji, chief executive of PTES, said information gathered from the Citizen Science Survey is essential for tracking progress towards the government's legally binding targets to reverse declines in nature. The public can help stag beetles by leaving old tree stumps and deadwood in place, cover water butts and ensure escape routes from ponds, minimise the use of weed matting so the creatures can easily emerge from the soil, and carefully moving any beetles found on roads or tarmac to nearby greenery.
So that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Your Talking Newspaper. My thanks to our readers, John and Felicity, to Andy for the news, to Maureen for the magazine, and to Kate for the What's On. Thanks also to everybody else who helps out behind the scenes to bring you Your Talking Newspaper each week. Remember, if you've got any comments on Your Talking Newspaper, please contact us on Darlington 465 101. If there's nobody in the office, leave a message and we will get back to you. Or you can contact us by email at dtnewspaper@outlook.com. So until the next time we meet, be good, stay safe, stay cool in these hot temperatures. From me, Jed, and all the team, bye for now.